Hare Krishna, welcome to this Shravan Kirtan camp. I've been participating in being the main speaker in such camps for several years now. The idea is to call devotees from various places. Specifically I thought because as I was initiating more and more disciples, and they're spread out here and there in various places, and for various reasons it becomes difficult for me to travel so much. For health is one reason, health tends to break down, and because I need to put a lot of time into writing, which is my main service to Srila Prabhupada, so I thought to have Shravan Kirtan camps, and then devotees, my disciples especially, can come and hear, because hearing from the Guru in particular is a main function of discipleship. It's not just going ooga, ooh, when you see the Guru, or having a picture on the wall, but you're actually supposed to hear. So I've been having these camps in various places, and this is the first one I'm doing in England. Obviously, many of you are not my disciples, but you're welcome to come and hear also. I actually started these Shravan Kirtan camps before the advent of the Kirtan Melas, which have become very popular in ISKCON, where devotees come together and for 24 hours or more, sometimes less also, but they come together and they chant the Hare Krishna mantra non-stop, intense kirtan, but also intense shravan is needed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about gaur bihita kirtan, or kirtan that is approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaur bihita kirtana shuni hridaye anandenache. He says that when I hear the kirtan that is approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my heart dances in pleasure. Commenting on this, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the theme of this Shravan Kirtan camp. Usually I don't have a particular theme, but I was asked to give one. So the theme is Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. So one key to his Vani, his instructions, we can find in one statement that he made, that before there can be Gaur Bihita Kirtan, kirtan, generally understood as singing or glorification, there must be Gaur Bihita Shravan. It's not a trite statement. It's a tremendously important statement. As we know, Harinama, 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 Iva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way but chanting the names of Hari, the names of Hari, the names of Hari. But how can we actually chant and properly chant? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur elaborated on this in some detail, which you can find in Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, one of the many, many important topics. I'll tell you something. I've told many devotees many times, and I'm interrupting here now. In 1976, must have been April 1976, I was present in an initiation ceremony conducted by Srila Prabhupada. I was being awarded what's called second initiation at the time. The yajna was going on, swaha, swaha, all this. All of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada leaned into the microphone and said, stop, stopped the yagya right in the middle. He pointed, the whole of Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan was completely full with devotees. And he pointed to some Mataji sitting at the back. She had a baby on her lap. He said, "This child has his hand in his mouth. He is contaminating the whole sacrifice. Take him out, wash his hand, and teach him not to put his hand in his mouth. Continue. So, please don't put your hand in your mouth. It's contaminating. You can also, of course, I can't order you as Srila Prabhupada orders his disciple, but you could also go and wash your hand and learn not to put your hand in your mouth, except when you're eating." So, that's, you see, Bhaktisiddhanta Vani takes us up to Gopi Bhav, but we have to learn things like that also. Don't put your hand in your mouth. Actually, even when eating, you see, some people, they don't. They avoid to put their hand in their mouth. Although some things, you have to. So, hearing is essential. Otherwise, we won't understand anything about kirtan. Even to do kirtan, we have to hear. Someone has to tell us, chant Hare Krishna. I mean, with very few exceptions, people are born in this world not automatically chanting Hare Krishna. They have to be told to do it, or they have to imbibe that from someone else. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave the analysis that all Vedic knowledge is in three divisions: Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan. What is our relationship with everything? Who are we? That can be understood by understanding the Prayojan, that our relationship is with Krishna, and Prayojan, Krishna Prem, our real aim of life is to reawaken our dormant Krishna Prema. And Abhidheya, what is the process for awakening or coming from the theoretical understanding of our relationship with Krishna to the perfect stage of acting directly in relationship with Krishna, as we see from this beautiful painting or print on the wall. That's it. Back home, back to Godhead. To go home to the spiritual world to be embraced by Krishna. So this is also required. To learn all these things, we have to hear from those who know, authorized sources. And this is true in the matter of kirtan also. We have to understand what we're chanting, why we're chanting, for what purpose are we chanting, and how we should be chanting. That all comes within Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan. So it's not to say Hare Nama Eva Kevalam and think that, well, all you have to do is open your mouth and sing. Well, Srila Prabhupada also gave the example, whether you know or you don't know, if you put your hand in a fire, you're going to get burned. So any way that you chant Hare Krishna, there's some effect will be there. But for full effect, one should hear and understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, what is the desired result of chanting Hare Krishna, and how we should do so. How we should do so, that means the attitude and techniques. Attitude is the most important thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said. Ki rupe nam loile prem upajoy taha lokon shuno sharup ramrai. We'll find in the explanation in the last chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his intimate associates Sarup Damoda and Ramananda Rai that how, in which way, by taking the name, in other words, by chanting the holy name, ki rupe nam loile prem upajoy, the prem, Krishna prem, love of Krishna, arises. Tar lokon shuno, Now, just here, I will describe what is the manner, what are the characteristics of how to chant the holy name in such a way that prem, love of Krishna, arises. So what is it, in essence? This is in the last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Has anyone read Chaitanya Charitamrita? Whole Chaitanya Charitamrita? Bhagavata Anand? You read the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yeah. Don't remember everything. Well, that's expected. You don't remember everything. So, what's the last chapter? Can anyone say? Anyone remember? The last chapter describes Shikshashtakam. So, there you get a clue. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained the Shikshashtaka. So, what way is it in chanting the... What manner of chanting the holy names gives rise to Krishna Prem? Is it Bengali style or English style of chanting? Is it rock and roll style? Which way? Trinadapi suni. This is the next verse that comes. Trinadapi suni chena torori vasahishana amanida manadena kirtaniya sada harihi. Easy to say. One should chant the holy names in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than a straw in the street. One should be ready to offer all respects to others, but should not expect any respect for himself. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. See, it's easy to say. Everyone can say. You've probably all learned it, but it's difficult to do, is it not? It's easier to be a yogi in the Himalayas, doing severe austerities. They can do that, but I don't know if they can do this. It's not easy. But we have to come to that level by hearing and understanding. This is what we really need to do. Prema prayojan. Our real need is love of Krishna. So how are we going to be humble? Well, then first we have to hear the glories of Krishna. We're not very interested to hear the glories of Krishna. Why not? Nivritta tar shai rupa giyamanat shoto. What is the next line? Bhavo shodat chotra mano bhiramat ka utama shloka gunana vadat puman virajeta vina pashuknat. Hearing about Krishna is done by people who don't have any more hopes for being happy in this material world. For such people, they find that hearing about Krishna, chanting his glories in the parampara system, it is a medicine for this material life of repeated birth and death. And it's very pleasing to the mind. Of course, everything else except Krishna consciousness is very pleasing to the mind of people who are not interested in Krishna Katha. So who will not listen to Krishna Katha? Who will not be interested? People who are killing themselves or killing animals. Animal killers become impious. So nivritta trishna. We should be free from material thirst, the desire to enjoy this material world. We can't hear about Krishna unless we're free from the desire to enjoy this material world. Which is why we need to hear Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. We need to hear Krishna consciousness taught as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught it. He didn't teach it as a way to piously enjoy this material world or to be comfortable in this material world. But he pointed us to the spiritual world beyond the realm of material enjoyment. There is great hope in Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. Back home, back to Godhead. By following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we can go back home, back to Godhead, in this very life. But we're going to have to be very serious about it. Therefore, in these Shravan Kirtan camps, that Lika camp which you just come from, we started that before we had the title Shravan Kirtan camp, but that's what it is. It means absorption, morning till night. Here there's a little break in between, but morning till night, living with devotees, wearing devotee clothes. Nowadays there's some movement on to say that, well, whatever you wear, it's okay. You just have to chant Hare Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada liked his followers to dress in the typical dress of Vaishnavas. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Gaura Priya Bhagata Vesha Dadhana Tilaka Tulasi Mala Shobhamana, in describing what is favorable for devotional service, in the Bhakti Anukul, he says that I will dress in the kind of dress that is pleasing or dear to Gaura Bhakata Priya, the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and will be beautified by what? There are so many beauty salons. Even in the slums in India, at least in Bombay and Gujarat, where they have more money, there are beauty parlors. It's very important to be beautified. Be beautiful. Make your skin covering your pus, blood, mucus, bones, bile, liver, kidney, and all these things. Put some lipstick and some mehendi and all this kind of thing. Be beautiful. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I will be beautified by tilak and tulasimala. So this is Vaishnav's beauty treatment. So these which identify us as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's possible to be a devotee with a punk hairstyle and a miniskirt and all these kinds. Well, not really. Not very much, because it represents something else, a different attitude and outlook on life. So all these things. These Shravan Kirtan camps, they're meant for morning till evening absorption in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Now, I know there are many camps which they have also things like swimming, and nothing wrong with swimming. It's not the goal of life, but it's also allowed within Krishna consciousness. But some kind of exercise. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Vihara, yeah. He speaks about vihara, or recreation. So Srila Prabhupada also allowed and sometimes encouraged his disciples to go swimming. But in these camps we don't, because there's not much time, and mostly devotees spend a lot of their time, most of their time, doing things which have got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So much of their time goes in useless activities. So although there's nothing wrong with swimming, it doesn't in and of itself help to bring us closer to Krishna, whereas Shravan Kirtan does. So in these camps we just concentrate on the essence, which is hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees. Shravan Kirtan Sadhu Sangha. Jagadananda Pandit says that Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam E Matra Chai Shongsha Jinite Ar Kono Vastu Nai. That Sadhu Sangha, association of devotees, and Krishna Nam E Matra Chai. I only want this. There's nothing else for conquering over repeated samsara, repeated birth and death, attachment to this material world. So you may say, well, what about, he didn't say Shravan, But it's understood when we say kirtan, shravan is included, because as I briefly described, and it's described in more detail in that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, that kirtan requires shravan. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that just like when we say Krishna, it actually means Radha Krishna, because Krishna himself, although he's full and complete in all respects, he feels himself incomplete without Radha. So just as Radha is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, so the Swarup Shakti of Kirtan, or that which makes Kirtan Kirtan, without Radha, Krishna isn't Krishna. What an amazing statement. Well, I didn't make it. It's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So without Shravan, there's no proper... The Kirtan cannot be full and complete. So we want to have immersion in Krishna consciousness, at least during these camps, at least for a few days, including rising early. We could also go on late. I know in many camps they go on late and have all-night kirtans, but that's all right, but then you should also rise early, because Srila Prabhupada put more emphasis. We are, after all, supposed to be followers of Srila Prabhupada. He put more emphasis on rising early, and in fact, not only in Vedic tradition, but in all traditions worldwide, people rise early for engaging in spiritual activities. And actually all over the world, until the advent of electricity, let's just say electricity. Before the advent of electricity, people everywhere used to rise early, even if they weren't very spiritually minded. And for spiritual culture, early morning is best. I was staying with some Cistercian monks in Ireland shortly before I joined this Hare Krishna movement. And their services start every day at 3 o'clock in the morning. They have a full morning program, just 5 hours, 6 hours like that before they go off to do whatever else they're doing. So that's early morning is important. Rising early. So we're having Mangal Arati here at 5 o'clock. In our temples, generally we have at 4:30, but in the Shravan Kirtan camps, we usually have at 5 o'clock. One reason being that many of the attendees are not used to rising so early. Another reason being that usually at these camps, facilities are somewhat limited. So for everyone to get up and get in the bathroom and get out of the bathroom and takes a little extra time, and also here, because everyone will have to come here from a hotel or whatever. It's the best way to start the day is rise early and chant Hare Krishna, as I hope you will experience. Looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow morning, which is why I'm not going to go on very late now, because we all have to get back and take rest and get up in time for everyone to get in and out of the bathroom and get here by 5 o'clock. These Shravan Kirtan camps, and also sometimes we do also in India yatras to holy places, in which is, or we do the Shravan Kirtan camps in holy places. Often we find that the what we call the congregational devotees, they appreciate this more than the full-time devotees, because the full-time devotees who are living in or serving in the ashram full-time, anyway, their whole day, every day is full of service to Krishna. They regularly have a full morning program. Whereas, at least according to my observation, in various countries throughout the world, most of our Grihastha devotees have, especially those who are working in some job or they have some business or whatever, their sadhana is very poor, to be frank. Even though they may be initiated, many of them struggle to chant 16 rounds or maybe don't even chant 16 rounds, I don't know. But often 16 rounds is, and maybe a little RT, 5-minute RT in the morning or something, that's probably as much as most of them can get round to doing due to having to go to work and look after a family, and then going to work you get mixed up with all materialistic people, which doesn't give any inspiration for chanting Hare Krishna. And even though they're devotees, but just the fact of living in a world which has got no interest in Krishna consciousness means that they spend most of their time, most of their life, associating with people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness and performing activities that have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, except that out of the money earned from it, you're able to keep your life going on so you can chant Hare Krishna and maybe and give some donations also. So generally we find that congregational devotees, they appreciate these Shravan Kirtan camps more because they get immersion, at least for a short time, in that which they really want. I mean, if you're initiated, it, presumably, if you come to the level of being initiated, that's what you want. You want Krishna as the goal of your life. But circumstances dictate that the devotees are not in Krishna consciousness most of the time. So they really appreciate it. Whereas those who are anyway serving full-time, they appreciate it, but maybe not to the level that those who are, I don't want to say part-time devotees, although in terms of activity, probably it's a correct term. Those who don't have the opportunity to serve full-time. Yeah. That gives, these camps, they're also meant to give a taste for how we could and would actually like to live our lives, hearing and chanting about Krishna, without any diversions into things which are unnecessary. Of course, as long as we're in these bodies, then there is yukta hara vihara svapna bodhas. There's eating, activities for bodily maintenance and health, sleeping, all these things are there. But devotees try to minimize these and concentrate fully on direct service to Krishna. So it's very blissful, actually. It is a fact that Krishna consciousness, if taken too seriously, is very blissful. It's not just a theory. It is pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. We can practically experience that if we take to Krishna consciousness, we feel very blissful. And if we're not feeling blissful, then we're not in Krishna consciousness. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma, the one who's spiritually situated, should be blissful. Unfortunately, most of our devotees spend most of their time doing things which are not blissful, whatever it may be, whatever their job may be. So this Shravan Kirtan camps gives the opportunity for at least a short time to be immersed in the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Of course, myself, I don't always speak in a manner which is considered blissful by everybody. In other words, I don't talk about Leela very much. I don't describe, and I don't use lots of words like wonderful and beautiful all the time. And I often speak in a manner which is considered by some to be harsh, but that is also necessary, because we can't come to the bliss of Krishna consciousness without coming out of the abyss of non-Krishna consciousness. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat prishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as we're nurturing the witches of desire for material enjoyment or the desire for liberation within our heart, then where is the question of enjoying or tasting the bliss of bhakti, of pure devotional service? So anyway, these camps, they're meant to give a taste of the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And actually, if we are serious about Krishna consciousness, then we'll be very happy to hear even those topics which might be considered harsh. Of course, in Indian languages, harsh has just about the opposite meaning of the English word. But I'm saying it in English. Harsh is, and you'll have the name people in India, some people they're called harsh. So in England you might think, well, that's a very bad name. But it's when I say harsh, I mean kotur, katin, karkash in Indian languages means rough, nasty, difficult. So those who are serious about Krishna consciousness, they'll also appreciate hearing this, knowing that it is required to come out, to come to the bliss of Krishna consciousness. We have to become nivritta trishna. We have to become callous or finished with desires for material enjoyment. So by getting such immersion, it's hoped that devotees, they will aspire to come to the situation where they can be always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. The situation helps. Of course, it is possible to be fully Krishna conscious in any circumstance. Srila Prabhupada, he spent many years as an initiated disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, actually more than 40 years, not being what we would call a full-time devotee. He was in family life with various business enterprises, and we understand that Srila Prabhupada, as he himself said, there was never a time in my life when I forgot Krishna. So he was always Krishna conscious in all circumstances. That's not so easy for all of us. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. One of the main purposes was to create communities in which devotees could live and serve Krishna. Because by living with devotees and serving Krishna throughout the day, we can much more easily be Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish farm communities, especially for Grihastha devotees, so they could live with devotees, live very simply, without much sense gratification, without so many gadgets. Modern life is largely defined by gadgets, especially these cell phones, iPhones, smartphones, and all these kind of things. We should have a sign here. Yeah, there is one. Please switch off your mobile phone. Just see, please switch off your mobile phone. That means, when it says your mobile phone, that means it's presumed that everyone has a mobile phone. Is it not? Everyone has it. Can't live without it. For millions of years, as we learn from the Vedic literature, not just thousands, as we learn from schools or rubbish Darwin theory. For thousands of years, if you believe Darwinistic nonsense, which I hope you don't, hope you believe what is stated in the Vedic literatures. And for millions of years, if we accept the Vedic version, people lived without mobile phones. But nowadays it's a necessity of life. You can't live without it, mobile phone. So even these farm communities we've been establishing are in India, where devotees can leave their good job in the city and go to live in the country and live without electricity. And now, after about 3 years, the oldest of those communities is just about 3 years old, and at last they have agreed, they've given up their so-called good jobs, they've given up electricity, which means TVs and internet and all this kind of thing, and at last they've agreed to give up their mobile phones. They could keep one phone for communicating with, necessary communication with the outside. Just how attached we can get to anarthas, unnecessary things. So these Shravan Kirtan camps, they're supposed to give some inspiration to devotees that how you can live in a manner that is conducive for our being Krishna conscious, and we actually need to. Of course, we try to encourage all devotees and we tell them, yes, you can be a devotee at home. But practically, we see that most devotees living at home, by necessity, they have to be devotees of their boss at work. Well, maybe not devotee, but you have to pretend you are, at least. You have to put your time and attention into things which they give no pleasure to the soul and no purification to the soul. So if we are going to, at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smriti, remember Krishna, we have to prepare for that. And another main reason these devotees in India serving under my guidance have founded these farm communities is for the sake of their children, because they don't want to expose their children to all the horrible outside society, which most people think is very... Here in England, people think, yeah, our society is wonderful. It's not only in England, people coming all the way from Africa, they think England's so wonderful, we have to come here. But culturally speaking, they're probably better off in Africa. Of course, it's wet stool and dry stool. There's not much to choose. Without Krishna consciousness, it's all zero. But coming here, they can... I haven't been to Africa, and probably the level of culture isn't very high. In terms of what we presume to be civilization, probably it's higher in England. But in terms of spiritual... Even basic family values in England, not much. So for the sake of their children, these devotees, they wanted to raise their children in an atmosphere where they could be in Krishna consciousness instead of computer game consciousness. And past the age of 12 or 13 or probably even before that now, boy-girl consciousness, fashion consciousness, get yourself ahead and have a good career consciousness and all this kind of... Or even the consciousness that, yes, we are English and we are very civilized. All these mayic forms of consciousness to actually live in Krishna consciousness. So that's also to give some inspiration. At least, at the very least, when the body is old, then don't, at least at that time, then don't remain completely entangled in all these affairs. But at least at the end of life, if you can't do a fast sprint throughout life, then at least at the end, concentrate fully on Krishna. Now you might say, well, what's the need of all this Shravan Kirtan camp? You can get your Shravan via the internet. You can go on some site and you can choose. It's more sophisticated. You can choose whatever lecture you want to hear. you have a wide choice. But as with kirtan, personally being present is different from hearing via the internet. You can hear via the internet also. So that's also something that can be used in Krishna's service. We're not great fans. Were you here when I said about putting the hand on the mouth? I think you came after that. Well, please go and wash your hand, because you had it on your mouth. And why? I won't explain again why, but you can ask, what's your name? Sanjay. You can ask Sanjay. He's the right person to tell you. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Well, not this Sanjay, but... as we say Bhagavad Gita, but it's spoken by Krishna, and then spoken by Sanjay again. So please go wash the hand which you had on your mouth, and afterward you can get the story from Sanjay, who I hope remembers it. At least you remember to put your hand in the mouth. It's embarrassing to be told in front of a group of people, but I guess that's one way the message will remain. So please, there's your left hand, was it? Yeah, even if you're going to put any hand, then it should be the right hand, but... Yeah, so please go wash it and come back. So, being present is personally coming and hearing. That also is getting the sadhu sangha. That's also very helpful. So the title of this series, I'm not going to go on very late now because we want to get up. Have to get back and get up in the morning and be here at 5 o'clock. So the title of this series is Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke very stridently, which means a very intense manner. Stridently literally means loud. Very straight and clear. Of course, his to understand what he said requires us very much to apply our intelligence, because actually it's very clear what he said, but it is toward the higher levels of intellectualism as we perceive it with our miserable Kali Yuga intelligence. But unless we give that clear message of what is right, what is wrong, what should be done, what should not be done, then we may tend to encourage insincerity. A recent example of this. I was recently in Moscow, actually just outside Moscow. There's devotees in one village have built houses. They must be fairly well-to-do to even to get land in that area. It's very costly. Probably nowadays more expensive than London. Is it, you know? It would be, yeah. And London's not cheap, as you may have noticed. So they're all devotees and they're all living there. One of my disciples is also living there. So I was staying with him and he asked me what could he do to serve me. So I thought for a moment. Then I said, you can try and encourage these devotees living here to get up in the morning and go to Mangalarti. One devotee in that area has Mangalarti in his home every morning at 5 o'clock. So I said to him, You do this, you encourage them to get up in the morning and go to Mangalarti. That would be good for them. So after a few days, I got an email from him saying that, I said to the devotees, but they said to me that first you should establish a relationship with us, then you tell us to go to Mangalarti. So then he asked me, what should I say to them? And I wrote back the gist of which is there's no point in saying anything to them because it's insincerity. If you ask someone to go to Mongolia, they're a devotee, and if you are an initiated devotee, you should know that the standard that Srila Prabhupada gave was to get up in the morning early and have Mangalarti and all these things. So obviously, if someone's saying that to you, then they're doing it as a well-wisher. So what is this about? Oh, the relationship. They must already have some relationship with him. They're all living together in the same area. At least I didn't hear, I've been there several times, that there's any animosity among the devotees, nor did I perceive that. So it's just an excuse. And then whatever good advice you hear from someone that you don't want to accept because you're insincere, you'll just say, well, I don't like the way you said it. You're not saying it with compassion. This compassion has entered the ISKCON dictionary as one of the most misused words. What is real compassion? The idea that, well, you should speak to everyone very softly and nicely. Well, you can do, but what you say is ultimately more important than how you say it. In modern foolish people, they say, well, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. That's nonsense. It's complete nonsense. If Arjuna said to Krishna, well, listen, you're saying such harsh words. Why don't you just be nice? Well, what do you mean nice? Krishna's telling Arjuna to go and fight and kill people. And Arjuna said, well, we should just be nice. And Krishna told him, you're a nonsense being nice. Get out and kill them. And he said, but that was Krishna's compassion in saving Arjuna from being falsely nice. We have to understand what is actually for our benefit and what is not for our benefit. I've discussed this in great detail in one of my books on speaking strongly in Krishna consciousness, because our movement is infiltrated by Mayavadi and Sahajiya ideas that we should all be very nice. That's the first thing. But the first thing is to karishye vachanam teva, to follow Krishna's instructions. It doesn't mean that we are committed to being nasty or speaking to people in a manner that is calculated to upset them. Although sometimes we may do. That's also one way of getting a point across. Sometimes it's required, as Krishna himself demonstrated in Bhagavad Gita, and as Srila Prabhupada himself personally demonstrated many, many, many times. Srila Prabhupada certainly wasn't cutting a profile of being artificially nice. That's very much part of Swedish life, isn't it? You're not supposed to. It's Swedish life means you never say anything that could possibly upset the massive false ego of any other Swede, which means that you never really have any relationship with anyone, because it's all, the most important thing is to be nice, and there's nothing left. Once you have, if you're fully committed to that, then there's no. There is, what are you going to build a relationship on? Just some artificial niceness. So, this excess emphasis on niceness and relationships and compassion, all these things are good, no doubt, but first, what comes first? Don't put the cart before the horse. That saying probably doesn't resonate with us as much as it did before the invention of the horseless carriage. But it's absurd to put the cart before the horse, if you can imagine. Yeah, everything has to be in proper order. So relationships, compassion, being nice, all these things are good. But first consider, labdvasu durlabham idam bahu sambhavante manusham arthadama nityam api hadhira turnam yatetanapatedanu mritya yavan nishrayasaya vishayakalu sarvata syat. Do you remember this being quoted in Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav? You told me you just finished reading it. It's a very significant statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in relationship to this. Of course, practically every line of that book is very significant. If you want to underline the important points, you'll probably find the whole book is underlined, because everything about him was so intense and to the point. Yeah. So anyway, he said about this verse, which I'll shortly give the translation to, as probably most of you don't know it, but you should know it, and you should make it the motto of your life. He said that, "I vow to preach the import of this verse up to my last breath." Now, can you imagine how important that is? It's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, Krishna speaking to Uddhava. The meaning is labdva, which means you got it. You got what? Sudurlabham, that which is very rare. What is that? Human birth. It is attained after many, many, many births. Labdva sudurlabham. Now you have it. But it doesn't last long. The last time I saw Madhav Puri was probably, 1979. I was in Sweden. I've been there since then, but I didn't see you in between. So I knew you were coming, otherwise I wouldn't have recognized you probably. But I could recognize you way back, that youthful body at that time. How old were you in 1979, late 1979? 24, which means that, oh, arithmetic, oh, 21 plus 15 equals, so add that to 24 means 50. Did I calculate correctly? No, me. Anyway, you're definitely older than you were. And, huh? 61. Well, I always said I didn't pay attention at school, and now you're right. Now I've proved myself right. Oh, how embarrassing. What a terrible mistake in arithmetic. Anyway, you have lived 61 years in this body, and highly likely you won't live another 61 years. So, temporary. It's all temporary. Everything in this world is temporary. See little kids playing? That's what they do. Little kids run around. They'll all be dead soon. You'll all be. If we come back here in 61 years, probably maybe only the little kids will be alive, but they'll be almost dead. We'll all be gone. So it doesn't last long. Human life doesn't last long, but it is very valuable and meaningful. This is very important. People think their life is meaningless. But their life is meaningful. What gives your life meaning? That you can utilize this life to get free from birth and death. So that is what we should do. And if we're interested in enjoying the senses, well, you can do it. How can you do it? You can do it as a human. You can do it as a cat, as a dog, as a chimpanzee, as a fish, as a seal, as a whale, as a tiger, as a worm in stool, as a demigod. In every species of life, there is sense gratification. But human life is meant for this. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that we should preach, he would preach this verse up to his last breath. So, considering this, we should, on the basis of this, we should define what is compassion, having good relationships, being nice. Everything becomes redefined if we understand this. If we simply understand what is the purpose of human life, then all these words which are so much misused, practically every word that has any importance is misused in whichever language it is. Words like, well, I already gave the example, compassion, relationships, being nice, religion, God. People think that God is someone who fulfills your sensual desires. That's what you. Religion means worshipping God so that he gives you facility to fulfill your material desires, and so on. So everything should be understood in this perspective, and we can discuss that more, Krishna willing, tomorrow. I'll finish here. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.